Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Look, if you would, starting at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." Now, we've been looking in the book of Proverbs for the last couple of weeks, and we've been looking at those things that the Bible says that can be good, that can be good. And we've already discussed a couple of things. We discussed a good man and what it takes to be a good man according to what the Bible says. Now, we understand that what the world says is a good man and what the Bible says is a good man is two different things, amen? We looked at what the Bible has to say about being a good man. And then last week we studied what the Bible has to say about having a good name. And certainly we need to do everything we can to protect our good name, but more importantly, we need to do everything we can to protect the name of Jesus Christ if we're going to claim that we're Christians. Amen? Amen. We need to make sure that we have a good name there and give Christ a good name. Now tonight, as we're reading in the book of Proverbs here, we're going to look at the last thing in this series of messages on what the Bible says can be good. And that is, we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about a good path. A good path. And Solomon has a lot to say about paths in his writings. When you read all of Solomon's writings, you'll find that he mentions paths quite a bit. In fact, just here in the book of Proverbs, I counted 18 times that the word path is used. So I'd say he's probably made a pretty high priority to tell us that we need to stay on the right path. Amen? We need to be on the good path. How many of you understand there are people today that are not on good paths? There are a lot of people today that have come to a crossroads in their life, and they have went the wrong direction. Some are still going in the wrong direction. And many of these people are Christians that are going in the wrong direction. And so we need to make sure that we go on the good path. And some of the things that Solomon points out about the good path is what we're going to look at tonight. And one of those things is that a good path is understood. In other words, if you read your Bible, you can't help but understand what a good path is. In Proverbs chapter 2 there, look if you would at verse 9, it says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness." Here in verse 9, Solomon speaks of understanding. Later on he says, in verse 9 he says, "Understand righteousness," and then he talks about the good path in that same verse. And so what he's talking about here, he's talking about understanding the good path, and he actually speaks of understanding three things that pertain to this good path. If you'll notice there, the first thing he speaks about is righteousness. And you say, well, what's righteousness? Well, simply it just means that which is right. That's what righteousness is. If you live a righteous life, then you live that which is right. When you put on the righteousness of Christ, and that's the only way that your righteousness is ever accepted by God, that's because he is the rightest of rights. There's no sin in him at all. And so he wants us to understand here that the good path that we take is the right path. It's the righteous path. But then he also talks about judgment. Notice there it says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment." Judgment mere means rendering a verdict. That's what judgment means. You render a verdict on something. In other words, we are to determine what is the good path and render a verdict whether that path is good or whether or not that path is not good. Then he also speaks of equity. Then it says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity." If you're on this good path, you're going to understand righteousness, judgment, and equity. And you say, well, what's equity? Well, it's talking about something being equal. And when a man receives sound wisdom from the Lord, because after all, when we read here in chapter 2, it begins talking about wisdom and understanding from the Lord, and that leads a person to get on a good path. And so when you start to understand the wisdom and the understanding of the Lord, you're going to understand that which is right. You're going to understand judgment. You're going to understand those things that are equal and those things that are not equal. And for somebody to say, well, it really doesn't matter which path you take, it always matters which path you take. And so when you have that understanding and you have that judgment and you understand the equity, he's going to understand that there is a right path and there's a wrong path, and we need to be careful which one we get on. Every day, whenever we come to a decision, you're choosing a path which way to go. That's the reason you should never, ever, ever make a decision on anything until you pray about it first. Amen? I mean, you should never make a decision without praying about it first, because it does matter which path which way you go. And so that's what he's showing us here. Now, in Proverbs chapter 2, look if you would, starting at verse 12. It says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. In other words, if you're on the good path, then you're going to be delivered from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So again, here we see two paths. You have one of uprightness and one of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Now all these words suggest here, like I said, that there's two paths that you could take. A person could take a right path or a person could take a wrong path. But a person must make a decision which path they take and whether or not they take the straight path or the crooked path. In other words, a good path that Solomon speaks of here is a path that one chooses to take. And let me say two things about this choice that one must take when they choose which way to go. And the first thing is, it is, even though people are tempted or persuaded by other people to do certain things, the choice that you make when it comes to the path that you choose is always your choice. It doesn't matter if people persuade you. It doesn't matter if people, if peer pressure. At the end of the day, it's you who makes the choice. Now, I'll tell you one thing I see whenever, I hear people talk, and, we like to put the blame of the choices we make on other people. That seems to be, and it seems like the further we go in these last days, the more you see that prevalent, where it's never our fault. If we make a wrong choice and we go down a certain path, we always want to blame somebody else. I wouldn't have went down the path if they hadn't told me. I wouldn't have went down the path if they hadn't tempted me. You know, if I had better counsel, maybe I wouldn't have went down that path. Hey, listen, maybe all that's true, but at the end of the day, it's still your choice. So ultimately, the responsibility falls upon you. If you get on the wrong path, you can't blame anybody else but yourself, especially as a Christian. Why? Because in this Bible, you have wisdom and understanding that shows you the right way to go. You have prayer. You have the Holy Spirit of God. And if you pray and say, Lord, show me which way to go, you have the Lord showing you which way to go. Hey, he's the one who shows you the right path. He shows you the way to go. Your path is directed by him. And we're going to learn about that later on tonight. But the Lord will direct your path if you'll let him. If you'll read your Bible and do what the Bible tells you to do, then you'll know which path to take. And if you get off on the wrong path, you can't blame anybody but yourself. Can't blame God. Can't blame anybody else. It is an individual choice. A fellow by the name of John Oxenham said this, to every soul there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth which way his soul shall go. And certainly that's true. Each person must make the choice as to which path they're going to take. It is a personal matter. It is an individual matter. And before each of us are two paths. There is the right path and there's the wrong path. There is the good way and there's the not so good way. But the Lord, although he'd have us choose to go the right path, if it was up to the Lord, we'd all go the right path. All of his children would do right. Amen? And how do we know that? Because over and over and over he says, go right. Go the right way. He gives you wisdom and understanding. Go the right way. He's given you everything that you need to choose the right path. So obviously the Lord wants you to go that way. But we don't always decide to go that way, do we? I mean, isn't that something? You have a Heavenly Father that says, now listen, the right way to go is this way. And this is the thing to do. But yet we don't do it. But yet we get so mad at our children for not doing it. You ever notice that? Isn't that a strange thing? You know what we want to do for our children? We want to show them the best way to get through life. Because let's face it, as we grow in life, we learn a few things. Amen? Now, this is something that it took me until I was an adult to figure that out, because I figured the whole time I knew far more than my parents did. Amen? And I guess no child does. I guess I'm the only one in the room that did that. But I thought I had all the answers. I thought I knew everything. And there are a lot of times my dad say, now listen, you need to go this way, and this is what you need to do. And I'm like, I got it, Dad. And then I'd go my own way, and I found out that really the old man kind of knew what he was talking about. Amen? Well, listen, it's the same way with God. God wants you to go the right path. He's told you the way to go. He's told you the things to do. He's given you wisdom and understanding. And he wants you to go down that path. But sometimes we just think we know more than God. And we're going to go, God, I got this. And then all of a sudden we go down the wrong path. You know, I got a God that doesn't say I told you so. I got a gracious God. Amen.
Amen.
But I'll tell you this, I've told my kids a few times I told you so. Amen. And so it is an individual choice. Not only that, not only is it an individual choice, it's also an important choice. The choice we make is very important because the path we choose in life will determine to some extent where we end up. I mean, if you're saved here tonight, at one time you chose a path, didn't you? And that path that you, let me tell you which path you chose? The straight and narrow way. And that path is going to lead you to life. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I'd say that's a pretty important choice. Now, that's a pretty, I mean, as far as which path to take, I don't think anybody in this room could have made a more important choice than that. And if you're saved tonight, I'm just going to tell you I made the right choice. You're on the right path. When it comes to salvation, you're on the right path. But you could still choose a wrong path today that could put you in a position that you really don't want to be in. It could put you in a place that you really don't want to be in. And Psalm here describes the outcome of both a good path and a bad path. Look, if you would, at verse 14. He says, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. There is a certain path in life that you can take that will lead you to sorrow, to shame, to sin, and according to this passage right here, even death. Even as a Christian. You know, the Bible talks about there being a sin and a death, and he says that we shouldn't pray for it. You realize, even as a Christian today, if you choose to go down the wrong path and decide to break the law, you could go so far in there as to where it could be the death penalty for you. Amen? Now, you being a Christian is not going to stop that from happening. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be exempt from that. A Christian today could get off on the wrong path and end up in jail. A Christian today could get off the wrong path and he could. Listen, as a Christian, you just about could do anything that a lost person could do. You have the flesh, and it's wicked, and there's nothing that a lost person, listen, we look at lost people and say, well, only a lost person to do that. No, you could do it too if you go off on the wrong path. You get far away from God, you get too far away from God, and I'll tell you something, there's no limit to what you'll do. We need to be careful about those things. And to say, well, I would never do this, or I would never do that, you better be careful about saying that. You get off on the wrong path, and I'll tell you what, it'll shock you what you would do. Now, it says here that this path could lead to shame and death and all these things. But then in verse 17, it says again, it says, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. This is talking about a young person who they got up on the wrong path. And it says that forsake the guide of her youth. Many young person today has forsaken the guide of their youth. In other words, they have put away the standards and the rules that mom and dad had taught them when they were younger. And many today have put away the very words of the Bible that they were taught when they were younger, and they have chosen the crooked path. In other words, they knew the right path. They knew that because, I mean, after all, they had a guide when they were young. Amen? I had a guide when I was young. It was my mom and dad, my grandmother, my grandfather. They were my guides. I had a pastor when I was young. He was my guide. Today you have a guide. These young people, they have a guide right here in this church. Amen?
Amen.
And what is that guide? Well, you got a Sunday school teacher, you got the Bible that they're teaching out of. That's a guide. But that does not guarantee that they're going to grow up and they're going to remember the guide of their youth. They could put all that aside one day and go down the wrong path. We need to pray for these young people that they won't go down this wrong path, because they're going to be tempted to. There'll be a lot of people, a lot of peer pressure on them to go down the wrong path, and no doubt many of them will. But we need to pray for them. We need to pray for each other too. Because just the same way they could go down the wrong path and give up the guide of their youth, everybody in this room can do that. Everybody in this room could do that. Now, talking about, so far we've been talking about the wrong path, the bad path. But remember, the sermon tonight really is about the good path. Amen? So let's look at what the Bible has to say about the paths of life that are good. Look at verse 19. It says, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Now, remember, it says, if you read back there, it's talking about a path that led to death. But now it says that they're not taking that path. They're taking that path instead of the path of life. Now, the path of life is a good path. And as we'll see later on, this good path will lead to peace and happiness and blessing. Whenever you're on the good path in life, even though it may not be easy sometimes to stay on that path, it is worth being on that path. Right. Amen? Amen? I mean, you're on the good path, there's a peace about it. There's just a joy about it. You say, well, that's a good path. It's living your life the way God wants you to live it. Living a life where you're in fellowship with the Lord. Living your life where you're being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the good path. That's a good path for the Christian. Now, I'm just going to go out and tell you that there is no good path really for an unsaved person. There really isn't. Certainly you could say, well, they're on a good path. They've lived a good life. They haven't broke the law. They haven't done all these things. And, you know, they're a good person and they're a law-abiding citizen. They're honorable and all those things. Yes, but the path they're on still leads to destruction and hell. Okay, so there is really no good path. It's a pipe dream for a lost person to say, well, I'm on a good path. No, they're not. Okay, but as a Christian, when it comes to salvation, you're on a good path, but you can get off of that path. Well, you can't get off of the path of salvation, but you could take a wrong path in life. But here it talks about these paths of life, and it leads to path, it leads to blessing, and you would think that knowing that the paths that we are faced with every day, that you have one that could lead to sorrow and shame and even death. Or there's also a path as Christians that we could get on and stay on that would lead to the blessings and peace and all those things. You would think it'd just be a no-brainer which path we'd take every time. Amen? I mean, certainly, we would all take the right path every single time, right? Well, we don't. Why don't we? Well, for the same reason we choose not to be in fellowship with the Lord. How many of you tonight would say, you know what, being in fellowship with the Lord is the sweetest place to be? By far. Then why don't we stay in fellowship with the Lord then? You know why? Because as people, we're just messed up. We're a mess. We know the right path, but we won't always take it. We know the path of peace and joy, but we don't always stay there. We know the best place to be is in fellowship with the Lord, but we don't always stay in fellowship with the Lord. There are many Christians today that have chosen the wrong path in this life. And there are many Christians today who wish that they could have it over and choose the right way. Even when it comes to salvation, today most people have chosen the way of destruction rather than the narrow way which leadeth to life. We need to understand that the path that one chooses is an individual decision, and it is an important decision. The good path is an understood path. Not only is the good path an understood path, but it's also a directed path. And this is something we talked about before. Turn, if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And when you get there, you're going to see that the good path is a directed path. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Now, real quick, I want you to notice here that there are some things you need to do in order for the Lord to direct your path. It says, number one, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Got to trust him. You know, a person that doesn't trust somebody else is probably not going to do what that person tells them to do. Amen? In other words, if I did not trust Billy, and let's say I didn't trust him at all, and Billy says, I'll tell you what, trust me on this. There's a good van out there for you to buy. Now, if I didn't trust Billy, you think I'm going to listen to Billy? You think he's going to have any impact on which way I go on that van? No, because I wouldn't trust him. Now, I do trust Billy, okay? But if I didn't trust him, I wouldn't listen to him. Amen?
Exactly.
If you don't trust God, you're not going to listen to him either.
That's right, brother.
You won't. But he says this, if you trust me, I'll show you which way to go. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he says. He says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In other words, if you just trust me and not think that you have all the answers and not think that you know more than me, if you'll just trust me, I'll show you which path. Boy, it sounds the same way I tell my kids. Amen? That's strange. Sounds exactly the same. And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Pretty easy. Amen? Just trust him. Don't be a know-it-all. Just understand he knows everything. He knows the right way. Acknowledge him. He's God. He's got the answers. I don't have the answers. He says, if you'll come to me in that way, I'll direct your paths. Problem is, we don't always come to him that way. Well, sometimes we come to him and not trust him. Sometimes we come to him and we are totally leaning on our own understanding, thinking we have the answers. And sometimes God says, okay, fine. Go your own way then and see how it works out. And then we find out that maybe we should have listened to him to start with. Now, if God directs our path, and according to this passage, he will, if we'll do those things, then there are some things that this should tell you about the God that you serve. First of all, it should tell you that God is trustworthy. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If you can't trust God, who in the world are you going to trust? Hey, listen, I don't even trust myself. I don't. But God could be trusted and relied upon. You know, we can put our lives in his hands. I'll tell you how much you can trust God. If you're saved tonight, you're trusting with your soul. Amen? I'd say it's pretty trustworthy. Would you trust anybody else with your soul? Not a chance. You say, well, why should we trust the Lord? The answer is found in the next verse. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean, when it says to lean not, it's talking about support. In other words, the truth is that we need someone to help us face the things in this life. I need somebody to guide me. Listen, every time that I've ever tried to guide myself, I always got myself into a ditch. Every time I try to handle things on my own, I always mess up. I need somebody. And there's only one person I can trust, and that's the Lord. We're not to lean to our own understanding. We can't face the things of this life. We can't carry the load of life that's been put upon us. We can trust the one that that's trustworthy. We can trust the Lord. And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. By directing our path, God proves that he's trustworthy because he wants to direct our path. It also proves that God is always right. He's always right. It says, he shall direct thy paths. One of the things that you can be sure of is that God will always lead you to a good path because God is good.
Amen.
God is holy. God is perfect. Now, he's not going to lead you in the wrong way. How many of you can look back tonight where God has directed your path? And are you as amazed as I am about how wonderful things turned out when God directed your path? I'll bet you that nobody in this room could look back to a time that God directed your path and say, boy, the Lord messed up there. Amen? Every time that you ever messed up, you know who it was that was directing your path, and it was you. Amen? Amen. The good path is a good path. It's a path of peace. And I can only say that when God has directed my path, I have seen some amazing things. When God's directed my path, I've seen God work in so many amazing ways. And I've seen the blessings that can only come with being on the right path.
Amen.
And every time I look back and I see where God directed my path, I tell you what, I'm just amazed. Folks, I could sit here and I could tell you story after story after story to where things happened, not in my life, but in the ministry. And honestly, I tried to direct my path. I tried to steer the bus. I tried to go in the direction I thought was the right direction. And there was one time, my wife could tell you, there was one time there was a situation that happened, and I was trying to, I wanted the situation to go a certain way because I thought, boy, if the situation go that way, that's the way we need it. And every time I try to steer it that way, it's just like the vehicle just kept on going this way. And I tried to steer it, and it just wouldn't go. And finally, I was like, fine, I give up. And when I did, the Lord took a hold of that wheel, and he did things. And when it was all over with,
amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing. And I mean, he took that thing a different way than I ever would have taken it. And with the way things turned out was great. But then I looked, and if I had went the way that I was going, things would not have been very well. Amen? I'll tell you something, folks. We need to make sure that we let God direct our paths and lean not on to our own understanding. Here Solomon speaks about wisdom. And he talks about the good path. And in so doing, he describes the peaceful paths and the wise choices bring. The good path is a delightful path. Now, why is it a delightful path? Well, three reasons. One is because it is pleasant. Look if you would at verse 17. It's a pleasant path. It says, her ways are ways of pleasantness. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. If you would look at Proverbs chapter 3, look if you would, starting at verse 3. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then it says, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Drop down to verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, this wisdom and understanding is coming from your Bible, coming from the Lord. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Talking about wisdom and understanding. She, isn't that something? Now, when it says she here, that she is referring to wisdom and understanding. Okay? She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Now, what that's telling you there is that the good path is a path of understanding, a path of peace. And when you have that understanding and you have that wisdom that God gives you, then it's going to be a delightful path that you're on. And you say, well, why is it so nice? Why is this good path such a good path? Well, because of its value. It says there in verse 16, length of her days in her right hand and in her left hand, riches and honor. You know, when you're on the right path and not on the wrong path, you're generally just going to, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to live longer. Amen?
Amen?
Hey, listen, you could get off on the wrong path. It could lead to death. You start living the wrong life, bad things could happen to you. And I tell you this, if you live longer, at least on this side of eternity, that seems like it's a pretty valuable thing. Let's think about those people that have chosen the wrong path and had their life snuffed out because of, you know, some drug deal that went bad or something that happened and they were in a place that they shouldn't have been. Think about the young men who got caught up in the wrong crowd and chose the wrong path and now they're sitting in prison or they're sitting in death row. These people, listen, they didn't receive the wisdom and the understanding the Word of God gives them. They chose their own path. They leaned to their own understanding. They didn't let God direct their paths. They chose the wrong path, and now they're not on the path of peace. They're far from it. It's a valuable thing to be on the right path. Not only that, but look at verse 16 again. It says, in her left hand, riches and honor. Drop down to look back at verse 14. It says, for the merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. People talk about all they give up to serve the Lord. If there's one thing that just drives me nuts, when I hear Christians saying, well, you know, You should. I used to be rich, and I used to have this, and I have that, and I gave it all up to serve the Lord. It just bugs me when they say that. Let me tell you something. You didn't give up anything to serve the Lord. You gained everything to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But the good path is full of blessings each step of the way. Good path is a delightful path. It's a pleasant path. It's valuable. And then finally, because the gladness that being on that path, there's a certain amount of gladness that being on that path will bring to your life. It will make you thankful. If you stay on that path for very long, a good path, you'll be thankful. Look at verse 17 again. It says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. How many of you like peace tonight? I tell you what, having four kids, and then now we still have three kids, I have learned to appreciate peace. Amen? I mean, that's the reason why I sometimes burn the midnight oil. I stay up pretty late, you know why? Because then when everybody else goes to bed, I have peace. I can sit there and read, and I can not listen to background. I mean, some people like background noise. I'm really not that much into background noise. I'm over it. I like to have quiet peace. And you know, the really happy people in the world are those that have peace. Those are the happy people. Those people that don't have turmoil going on in their life all the time. I mean, aren't you glad that you don't have that? I mean, you have some sort of peace. You realize that peace only comes from being on the good path. You can't have peace on the wrong path, folks. You know, let me tell you why. One of the reasons why? Because if you're on the wrong path tonight, God's not going to allow you to have peace. He's not going to allow you to have peace. Peace comes from being on the good path. The paths of sin are paths of darkness, but the good path is a path of gladness. Everyone on a path, everybody is on a path right now. You're on a path right now in your life as a Christian. So the question is, are you on a good path? Are you heading in the right direction in your Christian walk? I know you're going to heaven. I know that. But are you on the right path in your Christian walk? Are you doing what the Bible tells you to do? Are you receiving the wisdom and understanding? Are you leaning to your own understanding rather than the Lord's understanding? Are you letting Him guide your path? You say, well, how can I get on a good path? By letting the Lord guide it. By letting the Lord tell you where to go and doing what He tells you to do. You know, 18 times in your Bible, Solomon talks about a path. And he was the wisest man who ever lived, amen? But all of his wisdom came from God. Every good thing comes from heaven, okay? Every good thing comes from above. So all of his wisdom came from the Lord. Do you realize that when you read your Bible, it is a pathway? It is a pathway. And if you do what this Bible tells you to do, then you are letting God direct your paths. Amen?
Amen.
If you start going contrary to the Bible in your life, though, you ain't letting the Lord guide your path anymore. And you've gotten on the wrong path. Bible talks about a good path and bad paths. So tonight I hope that you're on the good path as a Christian. Amen? All right.